The Old Testament reading for this Sunday is from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, beginning at the second verse. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Romans chapter 5, beginning at the sixth verse. "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgressions of Adam, who is a type of the one who is to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these: Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Go nowhere among the Gentiles, and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay." This is the word of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is from John chapter 13, beginning at verse 2. "And supper being ended, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered him and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." A pastor went into a nursing home to visit one of his parishioners there. And as he's going through the nursing home, he gets to the area where they have the Alzheimer's patients. And the one lady looks at him and waves. And he walks up to her and he says, "Do you know who I am?" She says, "No, but if you go to the front desk, they'll tell you." Who am I? That's the question from today's text that I read from John. Who am I? Jesus defines that then in the rest of the lesson that I read. Excuse me. All right. The Christian faith is a lot like chicken pot pie. How many of you all like chicken pot pie? All right. One of the things I found out is when you're eating it, you can't really separate the carrots from the potatoes and the chicken and the broth, can you? No, because a little bit of the flavor gets into everything. Now, you've had TV dinners, right? Yes, you have. Come on. Now, let's say you get one of those particularly nasty ones because you didn't read the box right and it has sweet potatoes in it. And you open it up and you're about to dig in and all of a sudden you see that nasty little demonic vegetable sitting there. Now, I can eat everything else, but the sweet potato doesn't affect anything else, does it? So you got to hurry up and eat because it might. No. The reason I bring that up is the Christian faith is a lot like the chicken pot pie. Christ wants to be part of everything in our lives, not just in compartments that we like to put him in. In other words, Jesus isn't interested in you only on Sunday mornings. He wants your whole life. Like I said, chicken pot pie, you can't pick and choose which parts of it you're going to eat because you get a little bit of the flavor in every bite. Jesus wants to be part of every part of our lives. We'll try that again. Not just the compartments. Carl's Jr., the burger place, had a saying, "If it doesn't get all over the place, doesn't deserve to be in your face." Well, I'm going to change that just slightly. If it doesn't get all over the place, it doesn't deserve to be in your faith. John 13:1-4 says, "It was before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist." If we're going to be like Jesus, we got to know what he did. And there's three lessons that we can learn. First of all, he knew exactly where he was. It said there in John 13, it was just before the Passover feast, and they had just finished the meal. So that answers the when and the what. What? The meal had just finished. Now it's time for Jesus to act. Back in the Old Testament, back in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 23, these are the number of men armed for battle who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him. As the Lord had said, men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do went over to David. A little blip from 1 Chronicles. The men of Issachar knew the times. They knew it was a time to act. David was about to become king, and they realized that God's mercy had gone from Saul now to David, and it was time for them to decide which side are they going to be on. Are they going to continue to fight for Saul, or are they going to be with David? Jesus knew exactly where he was, and he knew it was a time to act. Either he was going to go to the cross and suffer that, or he would choose not to go there. Well, consequences for us would not have been very good. I said the men of Issachar had a plan. They knew they had to go over to David. Do you have a plan? Do you know what God's doing in your life today? If I asked you, if I had handed a 3x5 note card to everybody and put, could you write down what God is doing in your own life? I'd be curious what people would write. Are we hearing? Are we obeying God? There's a book about a missionary, Helen Rosevier, probably slaughtering her last name, but she was a doctor in the Congo. Little history lesson, back in the 60s, there was a brutal civil war in the Congo. Just brutal. And she was a doctor down in the Congo during the worst part of the civil war, and she was captured. Being white, she was tortured, beaten, and subjected to other punishments. And when the soldiers were coming again to do the same thing again, she asked God, why? God, can't you protect me? And she said, I almost felt like this was the answer I got. Helen, can I trust you with this experience that you will not curse me because what you are about to endure? Will you trust me with this experience even if I never tell you why? Do I trust God? Do you trust God? Would we be willing to suffer rejection even in our own community for being the one who takes the gospel message to somebody else? Jesus knew who he was, he knew his past, he knew his present, and he knew his future. John 13:3 says, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his feet, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. There's where he knew his past, present, and future. The present was that God had placed everything underneath his feet. The returning to God was the future. Jesus was secure in who he was. Now, here's a great question. Secular world and the church completely disagree on this one. What influences or defines your self-image of yourself? I guess by definition, that is of yourself. What defines or influences your self-image? Well, as a Christian, we answer God. It's not the world around us. Secular world will say, it's the world around you, blah, and they go on and on and on. What affects our self-image is that we are valuable in God's eyes. We have value as human beings because God created us. All right? He knows what we are becoming. Do you ever notice that people get really defensive when you point out a weakness? But as a Christian, yes, we know we have weaknesses. We confront them. We turn them over to the Lord. And I think in some ways we can be less defensive. Now, in the lesson I read, the disciples are waiting for a meal. And generally, servants are the ones that would come and wash the feet. That's the tradition at that time. It's kind of like the tradition today of taking off your shoes when you enter a house. Oh, wait, you guys don't do that. See, you Yankees. See, when I lived in Canada, the first thing you do when you enter somebody's house, you take off your shoes. It's an insult not to. Because if you don't take off your shoes, you're telling the person who owns the house, their house is too dirty for you to be in your socks. Different tradition. Here, we Yankees, we just walk around somebody's house with our shoes, stomp the dirt all over the place. Well, different traditions. Come on, smile, guys. Life is good. All right. Anyway, at this time period, there's a servant who washed the feet. All right. And nobody was confident enough of the disciples, since there seemed to be no servant available to do this job. None of the disciples themselves were willing to do this. No, this is the same gang that just prior to this, the day before, who had been arguing who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Can I sit on the Lord's right or the Lord's left hand? They're not thinking about being a servant at all. Then when he comes to Peter, Peter doesn't want his feet washed. Jesus says, if I don't wash your feet, you can't have any part of me. Here goes Peter from one extreme. Don't touch me, wash all of me. Peter is a man sometime of extremes. I also think Peter understood. He knew what he should be doing. He should have been the one washing the feet. Peter knew exactly who he was before the Lord. Back in Luke chapter 5, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Peter knew exactly who he was. Peter understood that he wasn't worthy of God's love. None of us are worthy of his love. None of us deserve salvation. Jesus' reaction to Peter was, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." You know, unless we're forgiven, we have no part with Jesus. Jesus takes all that brokenness that's in our life, the pain that's in our life. He washes it and he makes us clean. Peter understands this and he wants a total washing. And Jesus' response was basically, "Be secure in what you already have for me." Man, what a great lesson for us today when we look at life in general. All the chaos around us. Just be secure knowing of what God has done for us. So if I was to define who am I hope I would put on my piece of paper, I am a sinner saved by grace. I have value because he created me. And although sin breaks creation, his death grants us salvation and the forgiveness of sins. Now we need to live like it. Jesus also knew who he was. He was a servant. In verse 4, so he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. What an act of humility. He's teaching us what it means to live out the faith. In continuing there in John, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. Mark 10, verses 42 to 45 says, Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." There's a story of a Bible translator who went into Brazil working with one of the tribes. And when he first got there, he was referred to as the white man. It wasn't a compliment from the natives there, because their experience had been ones who had robbed and stolen from them. So when they called him white man, it was an insult. But as he continued to work with them, they sort of adjusted that and called him the respectable white man. When he started to take on more of their culture, understood their language, they started to call him the white Indian. How politically incorrect, huh? All right? Then one day, one of the boys in the tribe cut his foot on a branch. It was quite a deep cut. And the missionary carried the boy back into the village and started washing the boy's feet and binding up the wound. And they were shocked. A white man would wash an Indian's feet. Then they changed his name yet again. Here comes a man that God sent us. What a name. Here comes a man that God sent us. We are called to serve. We are called to be a blessing to others. I understand that if you graduate from Lincoln Christian University, when you graduate there, flies go away. I hate flies. Anyways, when you graduate, they give you your diploma because now you're prepared to work. Then they give you a towel because now you're prepared to serve. You're now qualified for biblical leadership. Story about the great evangelist Dwight Moody. He had a conference at this large hotel, and he had a bunch of pastors from Europe who came. So the first day's conference is done. Everybody's going back to their rooms. Dwight Moody was a little late, so he's walking down the hall, and he suddenly realizes all the European pastors had put their shoes outside of their hotel doors. I understand that in Europe, at least at that time, that was a common practice when you went to a hotel. You put your shoes outside the room because then people from the hotel came by and polished your shoes so they were ready for the morning. What a sweet deal. Man, I could get my boots all shine, spit shine. Ooh. But of course, this hotel where they're at, they don't do this. Dwight Moody doesn't want these European pastors to be embarrassed in the morning that they thought they were getting something and didn't. So what he did is he collected the shoes and he polished them. Well, I should back it up. He asked some of his ministerial students to help him. They all had excuses why they couldn't do it. So he polished all the shoes himself. The next night, some of the other pastors from North America realized what he had done, so they volunteered to help him. A commentator on the life of Moody once wrote, "Perhaps this episode is a vital insight into why God used Dwight Moody as he did. He was a man with a servant's heart and was the basis of his true greatness." I don't know if any of you watch British comedy shows, but back in the 70s or 80s, there was one called Are You Being Served? Come on, anybody seen it? All right. Yeah, Dad, you better put your hand up because you talk about it all the time. All right. And it's the story of a department store and all the workers, and they're a bunch of real characters. Anyways, when a customer comes in, the question is always, are you being served? Christians need to actually turn that around and say, are you serving? Isaiah 6:8 says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me." Who's going to share the gospel message if we don't? So may the peace of God, which is above all of our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.